Hello and welcome once again to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore all avenues of transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it feels counterintuitive, just like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and today's show is brought to you in association with Nasal Guard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants. And because it also blocks indoor and outdoor allergens, it's great for travellers and pet lovers alike. Later, we have something a little different for you as my regular guest, Karen Brines-McLean, turns the tables and interviews me on what I do when I'm not interviewing fabulous guests like her for this show. So stay tuned for that. First, though, I've been out and about as the days get longer to see what wild food is becoming available. Ransom's wild garlic, of course, is in full swing. The leaves are great, but so are the buds. You know, you can pickle those and use them a bit like capers. I've done that myself in the past, and they're very, very, very nice. Other plants are beginning to come through, like nettles, which are very nutritious and great in a stir fry. Tastes a bit like spinach. We're waiting still for trees to blossom. I'm going to pick some elderflower this year and I can't wait for that. But one plant that's abundant where I live and is very much in bloom right now, and that is gorse. You can see its bright yellow flowers throughout the countryside. It's often used as hedging and provides great shelter for wildlife. In fact, there's a bush near where me and my friends swim. That's home to a very friendly robin who joins us for breakfast some mornings. Now, I'd never thought of gorse as an edible until I saw that a company locally was making gorse gin, which is very good by all accounts, but I don't drink alcohol myself, so I haven't tried it. But that led me to research what else gorse might be good for. It turns out the leaf buds were once used as a substitute for tea, as were the flowers. Now, gorse flower tea is still recognised as an excellent liver and digestive tonic. Gorse flowers are also used to make wine, so not just gin, and you can make cordial out of them, which I intend to do this year. And the flower buds can be pickled just like the wild garlic buds. The flowers can even be used in baking, apparently, but that's not something that I do. But I'm sure it'd be very interesting. Now, if you want to find out more about the benefits of this flower, I've written a blog about it at my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. There's even a picture of the bush where our friendly robin lives too. Just be careful if you're picking gorse flowers. These are very prickly bushes. And don't eat too many of the flowers. Also, never eat the seeds or seed pods because they are toxic. So, as I said, I'm determined to make at least some gorse cordial this spring before we get into elderflower season. And that's one time of year when I suffer from hay fever, so I'll definitely be reaching for Nasal Guard from our sponsor this year. Now, Nasal Guard was developed to help people who suffer from airborne allergens, specifically from pet dander, people who are allergic to cats and dogs, although it does more than that. It's easy to use, and because it's a water-based gel, it's totally discreet, and it's drug-free. Here's one of the company's founders, Kanika Wahi, to tell us more.
The beauty of Nasal Guard is that it does dry clear. It is invisible to the naked eye. It's actually more invisible than sunscreen, rather. It's something that can completely blend in with any cosmetics, any makeup. It can easily be applied without interfering with any products that you might already have, even any skincare. So that's something that we pride ourselves in, is that it is an invisible mask. It's an invisible filter that we're essentially creating for each person who tries our product.
Brilliant. So would you put it on under your sunscreen or your makeup?
The best way to apply it is whatever suits your lifestyle. We tend to recommend the recommended way is to apply it prior to sunscreen or makeup, but it can still be applied just as well and just as effective if you were to forget or apply it after the fact as well. It'll have the same type of efficacy if you were to apply it prior to makeup and still create that electrostatic barrier prior to inhaling some of these dust mites and pollen.
Typically, then a commuter on any kind of mass mode of transport, it's really good for you to wear nasal guard. And that's not just because of dust and particles, but also nasal guard does catch virus-sized particles as well, which means that you're going to catch some, catch the bugs before they get into you. Isn't that right?
That's right. Any commuter in any crowded space will benefit from nasal guard and being able to protect themselves against any of those airborne particles or germs that may be around. A lot of our testing has been done on virus-sized particles, which are very small and invisible to the naked eye. And any commuter who's taking a bus or a train or a subway is able to benefit from nasal guard.
Are there any other applications that we've missed that you can think of that would be very useful to have nasal guard on hand for?
There are several areas, different pockets of the world who find that pollution is the number one problem that they're facing. We've had countless people who have been in Dubai, even where there's plenty of sandstorms. They find it to be very helpful. There's a lot of fog. Many people in different areas of the world find it really helpful to be able to get our product line and see some benefit in the air that they're breathing. So they find it to be a game changer as well in different areas.
So, I mean, cities famously foggy or smoggy, like, well, Beijing, even Los Angeles has terrible smog. A lot of American cities have terrible smog. So it's great for that. And I can imagine sitting in a absolutely mad traffic jam, right? Just with all those exhaust fumes coming at you, it'd be good to be wearing it then. Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to go over again how nasal guard came to be. And it was because I think your sister, who had terrible pet allergies, and your father decided to do something about it. What a hero.
Yes, my older sister suffered from severe cat allergies as a young girl, and as we were school-aged children, he wanted to make sure that we were not ingesting any sort of drugs or active ingredients that were causing major side effects like drowsiness. So he wanted to come up with some sort of practical solution and went to a lab and did more research and was able to tinker around enough to figure out that there are ways to block airborne particles that happen to be negatively charged. And he went to the drawing board and tried to come up with ways to be able to create something that was electrostatically inhibiting and blocking some of those particles from her. And she ended up being the guinea pig of testing several rounds of the initial formulation and subsequently as it's evolved over the years. So she is the reason why this product was even created several decades ago.
I think that's brilliant. I think that's lovely. And I always love hearing stories of people who've invented something or, developed something because of their own family experience or their own experiences. It's great to hear that somebody's just said, okay, I'm going to do something about this, right? And I'm going to help other people with it at the same time, which is what Nasal Guard is doing. And now you're selling all over the world.
Nasal Guard is available to ship, whether it's through Amazon or through our own website, but we ship worldwide. So we're available worldwide.
Which will really help. And and again, I was thinking of a friend of mine who's in Egypt right now, and I know that sometimes you do have sandstorms, you do have a lot of dust, and a lot of stuff going on in the atmosphere there. So I wish I'd given her some before she headed out, but I'm sure that another time it'll come in useful.
Oh, I think it's becoming clear that the newer generation is really concerned with the consumption of products and the types of ingredients that they're using. I think that it's really important that we are mindful of that and hear a lot of what they're saying. We want to make sure that our ingredients are clean and that we're not just resorting to drugs to be able to treat, and we're actually going to be able to take matters into our own hands and control the air that we breathe. So I think that, you know, Nasal Guard fits right in with that mission of the way that we're headed.
Great stuff. Kanna Kavahi there. Now, you can try out Nasal Guard for yourself. Just head over to the UK Health Radio homepage at ukhealthradio.com and follow the link there. It's time for a short break right now, but stay with me for something a bit different after these messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist. And today, the tables have been turned on me as my regular guest, Keren Brines-McLean, persuaded me to let her interview me for a change. Keren is a medical herbalist, a friend, and a fellow foraging enthusiast, now known as the Garden Herbalist. We just finished recording an interview with her in her beautiful garden consulting room. You can hear that in a previous show, when she offered to interview me about the energy work that I do. So here it is, Keren taking the reins for one show only, and this is how it went.
I'm going to turn the tables today, because I've got a few questions to ask JJ about her new healing website that she has been promoting on Facebook and social media. I've seen it. I've seen posts coming up about what you've been doing. And I'm quite curious about your healing, which is Safe Haven Healing.
Safehavenhealing.uk is the website. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, the website's new, but the work isn't new. I've been doing it for most of my life, really, I guess.
Okay.
It's something I've always been able to do, but I never knew what it was. But it's working with energy and clearing energy from people's systems, from buildings, from animals. I used to work on my pets when I was a child. And it's not, the first question that everybody asks me is that the same as Reiki? No, it's not. I did train in Reiki because some years ago, I wondered whether that was what I did, right? Mm-hmm. So I trained in Reiki, I learned Reiki, I became a Reiki master, but that is not what I do just intuitively. What I do intuitively is I clear energy. And I think as the years have progressed, where I've got to now is I realize that what I do in the first instance is I create a safe space where a body, a person's system can automatically self-heal. So that's the sort of basis of it. And that's why the website's called Safe Haven Healing.
Right, okay.
Because I create this safe space where anybody can sink into this lovely, safe, almost meditative state, and their body kind of goes, oh, that's good, right. Mm-hmm. Let's get on with this now then.
How do you create that safe space? I'm quite curious about that, JJ. Do you, you know, is it hands-on?
No, it's just purely working with all the energies, you know, we are energy, right? Mm-hmm. We are all energetic beings, and energy is all around us. Everything around us is energy. And what it is it's setting intention and it's creating part. I mean, I can't even describe how you do it, but you know that you can sort of work with energy, manipulate the energies around you so that you create this very, very quiet, meditative space, safe space. And people do feel it. Now, I don't think I've ever given you a session, have I? I must do that one day.
But it's interesting as you're talking, I can actually feel that energy change going on round about you.
Yeah, you see? So that's kind of what happens. So you create that space, you can feel it. Now, if you were maybe lying down on a couch or something, on a massage bed or something like, or wherever, or just sitting in a seat, what I can do is I can create that energy around you. And I almost will imagine like a gold aura around you. So it's almost like I create a cocoon around the person that I'm working with. This is what I do now. I'll talk a little bit more about other things that go on as well. But I create this almost like this gorgeous cocoon. Now, we're not talking about invasion of the body snatchers here. You know, that is not what's going on. But it is a really lovely golden light cocoon. And within that, people just kind of really feel very floaty and go into a deep, deep meditative state. In that state, they will find that they feel things. Their body might get hotter, might get colder, things might change. They'll find, you know, maybe they twitch a little bit as things readjust in that space. I can scan the body and I can send an energetic flow through that space, so that it almost like clears away. It's a bit like, you know, one of those leaf blowers in a garden. It clears away all the debris that might be stuck in there. So while that's happening, and I might notice that, for instance, oh, there's a little bit here on a shoulder, or there's a little bit here around the belly area that needs a little bit of work. So I'll do a little work on that. But it's not really directing energy into the body. What I rather do is lift energy, or lift stuck energy out.
Move blockages.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's how it is mostly now. Sometimes I'll ask the person who's in this state to engage with me and help me shift something if it's something quite major. So then I might ask them to just put their focus on a certain spot, imagine how that is, imagine, give me a color. What color is it? Often it's a black or a dark, you know, color. And so then I'll say, well, just imagine that congealing and then just scabbing over, and then just imagine that all lifting off and just dissipating into a million particles and moving out of your body like a breath of air, you know, like smoke. And then put your focus on there again. What's the color like? Oh, it's a lovely pale pink now. Gorgeous. How do you feel? Oh, yeah, the pain's gone. Oh, yeah, that's much better now. Thank you. So sometimes I will do that. But very often, all that we need to do is to get into that wonderful, safe space where the body says,
it's like bliss and relaxation, isn't it? It's just letting go.
It's letting go. Mm-hmm. And you literally let go of whatever's going on there. So you might ask, well, what does it do? What things can you help with? Well, I've helped with all sorts of things. There's also a spiritual side to it. So I've also noticed things coming out of people. Sometimes people, without knowing it, have little bits attached to them, little entities attached to them.
Dark energy.
Mm-hmm. And you'll see that lifting, or I'll see in my mind's eye, I'll see that lifting.
Do you think that, I think that when people have traumatic events, that trauma will often get locked into the body as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Either locked into the body, or I think we can detach a little bit, that we almost leave our bodies and don't quite fully engage back in there again.
Yeah.
So does it help realign in that situation?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm really curious, JJ, that you said that you have felt like you've always been able to do this. Now, I think for children, when they're experiencing something very different, that can be really hard to communicate and navigate, you know, with adults round about. I mean, what was it, when did you realise, what was the first thing that happened that made you think, whoa, there's something going on here?
I can't even remember, you know. I just can't even remember. It's just always kind of been there. I remember I used to do work with our pets, you know, our dogs, and maybe when I was about 8 or 9, And then it went away for a bit. And then, you know, I didn't really do anything, but it came back. And I was able to, if somebody said to me, I've got this horrible pain in my leg, you know, I'd say, oh, let me see if I can sort something out for you. You know, just let me, you know, do something. No hands on, no hands touching. But just, you know, kind of focusing on that area and shifting, clearing the energy. And I've been called a witch more than once because somebody's, you know, people have just said, oh my God, but that's it. Yeah, the pain's completely gone now.
Where does the intention come from? Where do you feel the intention when you're working?
It's from the heart. It's a heart
that's
thing.
What I'm getting. As I'm sitting here now, it's like, whoa, yes. It has to come from there, doesn't it? From the heart.
Yeah, it does come from the heart.
Yeah,
it's a huge outpouring from my heart. And I guess, you know, I say I'm not channeling energy. Well, we are all just energy. So I kind of have a problem talking about channeling energy because it just is, right? Mm-hmm. We just are energy. But I think that combined with that and that intention, it comes out of my heart. I have this huge kind of intention to help shift whatever it is in this other person or animal. But I don't do it all the time. I don't sort of walk down the street and think, oh, they've got a problem with their heart, or they've got this, or they've got a liver problem, or they've got, you know, oh, what's going on with them? No. But if you come to me and say, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I can scan a body and say there's an issue there, you know, so I'll see a darker shadow, or I'll see something wrong in the body, and I'll know that that's where to work on it, or focus if there focus is needed to shift that energy.
And you mentioned doing it in buildings as well.
Yeah. There's a story I tell, and actually I used to have it on one of my websites, when a friend of mine who lives in the States and I were in Malta, and she does a lot of clearing work as well. She's very, very good. And we were walking around, I think it must have been Medina, and, you know, millions of churches, right? There tons of churches. And I said to her, let's go into this one. And she said, yeah, okay then. All right. You know, we'll go in here. And there was a chapel to the side on the left-hand side, and it was very dark. And I said, oh, that needs a bit of attention there. And we got to the door, and it was very dark in there and not at all pleasant feeling. And I said, oh, come on, we've got to clear this. You know, I think this needs some clearing. And she said, I'm not going in there. I said, no, that's what, you know, we're here to do some clearing, you know, to clear land and energies so that people can live, you know, more freely. I said, come on, get your backside over the threshold here. Get in here with me and let's do it. So we were standing there and I was working, and she was kind of still going, oh, I don't know about this. But then she said, oh my God, she said, I can actually see the darkness moving and the light coming in. So she actually watched as that dark shadow left the building. And I've done that on a similar thing on a lot of buildings. Some buildings, some people would say are haunted. What is that? Often it's an energetic signature, you know. That's a whole other
places
story.
Places do have energetic signatures, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, but, you know, that is a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've worked with that as well. Yeah.
I think that is really interesting, that energetic signature. You know that we often go on canal holidays. That's our favourite place to be. And I always feel when I'm sitting on the canal side that I have the energetic signature from all that labour that's happened. You know, I've got tingles going down my spine just now thinking about it. But I can see the horses. I can see the boats. You can feel it.
You can feel it.
You
exactly.
can really feel it. It's one area that I really pick up on that is when we're on the canals. Yeah.
And I pick up on it when I go into a church.
Mm.
Because you think of how much grief and sadness and horror is connected with congregations who've been going in and out of those churches over the ages. Mm-hmm. And it's horrendous.
Yeah.
And some of them, when I was younger and didn't quite have a handle on it all the way I do now, I would be scared still.
I was going to say it'd be quite frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I couldn't walk through a graveyard when mm-hmm. I was you know a child or you know up until my 20s. It was just too much. Mm-hmm. The energy of it was just too desperate.
Mm-hmm. So what sort of things have people brought to you to help them with in the past?
Well, you know, somebody who had actually had a disc that was out of place and we managed to get him walking again. He was lying flat on his back, couldn't move. He couldn't get any of his usual, you know, people to help him. And I said, do you want me to come around and see if I can do anything? He was a bit sceptical. But after about half an hour, he was up riding his bike and walking around wow. again.
And that was no manipulation, no hands-on,
no.
just intention
yeah.
from the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And a little bit, in that instance, a little bit of NLP as well, as in getting him to engage with mm-hmm. what was going on with yeah. that. But I've also got somebody who's been having sessions with me for a long time now who had 2 open heart surgeries in a year, and she had, you know, a valve put in, replacement valve put in. The first one failed, so she had a second within a year open heart surgery.
With her chest opened up mm-hmm. twice. My mm-hmm. goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and she's on warfarin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you will know better than anybody that warfarin does not do your body any favours. It keeps your blood thin,
mm-hmm.
but the other things that it does to you are not great. So one of the things that we do with her is, well, first of all, there's still a memory of the opening up of the chest cavity going on there. So we work on that. We work on just easing all of that out, just making sure that that's all rested, the heart's working well. But I also clear various areas. Well, not various areas, but just basically, it's almost like giving the body a talking to and saying, look, I know that you don't like this warfarin going on around you. However, it's a thing mm-hmm. and you've just got to, you know, deal with it. And let's just allow it to do what it needs to do and just, you know, see if you can, and we just find that balance, accept it. So I've been working with her for years now. Every so often she'll come and say, I need a session. I've got, you know, my blood pressure's up and my, you know, whatever. And I don't really do anything, but, you know, in that space, her body on its own will bring down the blood pressure to a proper level.
Now, do bear in mind that everyone is different and any examples given here wouldn't necessarily be your experience. Also, I don't interfere with anyone's existing medical treatment. That is not the intention. Now, time for a short break right now. We'll be back with more questions from Karen to me right after these messages.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one Talk Health radio station, and today, medical herbalist Karen Brines-McLean is the one with the questions for me about my energy clearing technique. Here she is again.
So it probably realigns your chi, if we're talking about Chinese principle, wouldn't it? It would be your life force.
Yeah, absolutely. That is you know, one way of looking at it. Yeah, mm-hmm. It really does. It realigns your life force energy. It allows your body to work optimally as far as possible. But then sometimes, I always get things as well. I see things, and I still find this extraordinary. I find that the person I'm working with will often have seen the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll see something in my mind's eye, and it'll be allegorical, mm-hmm. right? So it might be, you know, I saw a knight, you know, with a sword, and they'll say, yeah, I saw that as well. I kind of, you know, felt that. So it's almost like you tune in totally to the person's system.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it is about that realignment. It is about shifting the things that are blocking, shifting areas that aren't working. And it can work, interestingly, both on the physical and on the spiritual and mental at mm-hmm. the same time.
Well, they are connected. You can't disconnect them,
correct.
Can you? Yeah.
Correct.
Do you think that because you're now Reiki trained, that when you're doing the healing, do you think there's Reiki will
no.
be transmitted during this?
No.
No.
Reiki's just energy. Mm-hmm. Reiki's just Reiki is just a form of training that works with energy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did a form of Reiki called Jinkei-do Reiki, which was kind of a cross between acupressure and Reiki. You weren't necessarily touching, well, you did, maybe there was a bit of touch, but you were directing energy into an acupressure point,
mm-hmm.
right? So that was the Reiki that I trained in. But what I don't like is bringing energy, so the Reiki was Reiki, where you bring energy through you and you direct it out through your hands into a person. I don't like doing that. And I'll tell you why I don't like doing that is because there are very few people who are such clear vessels that anything going through them and directing out of them will not be affected by whatever's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have never practiced Reiki. I understand it. I trained in it, but I don't practice it. When I work with somebody, you're not getting my energy going through you. If anything, I'm shifting energy out of you,
rather than putting anything in.
Rather than
that's
putting anything in.
That's interesting, but yeah, thinking about that with the Reiki, putting energy in. My mum trained as a Reiki master. She's a Reiki master, and she did train quite a lot of people in Reiki. And I've always been a bit hesitant and a bit nervous about Reiki. And I know that people do really benefit from it. And the only person I've ever had Reiki from is my mum. Who, incidentally, when she gave me a Reiki session, singed all her fingernails.
Oh, wow.
Which was absolutely incredible. I couldn't believe it, that her nails were all singed at the end. And it's really incredibly powerful.
It is.
Working with energy. And I think that's what made me a bit nervous of it, because of that I could see how potent it is. But I think that is interesting, that point about, yeah, you are putting energy into someone, and what's that coming through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I say that because of my own experience,
mm.
because I've experienced people practicing on me, or, you know, or I've been to big gatherings where people say, oh, yeah, we'll give you, you know, a Reiki, whatever. And they go around, and I remember there was one event where I just thought, get your hands off, get away from me. I do mm-hmm. not want, you know, I don't want this. So I'm not saying that Reiki isn't powerful. I'm not saying that Reiki isn't good. It helps a lot of people. I know that. It's just not for me. It's not what I do intuitively.
Mm-hmm.
I learned Reiki because I wanted to understand more about energetic systems.
And what you were actually working yeah. with, perhaps. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And so I've done various forms of energy training. But none of it really is what I do. What I do is much more just sort of, creating that space. But I think it's very difficult to explain to people.
Because it's not, you know, it's not a sort of recognized yeah. therapy as such, that
correct.
It's not Reiki. It doesn't have a specific name.
Yeah.
It's JJ.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's what I should call it. But again, you see, I mean, and the other thing is I can do it remotely, so I can tune into anybody wherever they are in the world, and I can work with them. I work with people all over the world. All that matters is that the person that I'm working with is able to relax, be in a quiet spot.
They're not driving the car at the
time. They're not driving the car at the
time. Machinery.
No, exactly. None of that. And then because most people that I work with go very deep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes they feel things. And I always say to people, you might feel movement. You might feel nothing. You might see things. You might get cold. You might get hot. All of that is fine.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong,
no.
is there? Yeah, very individual.
It's very individual. Mm-hmm. For instance, one person I work with, she when something's really clearing, she gets cold.
Mm-hmm. But also when you start to relax, your body will go colder
yeah.
as well, won't it? So, you know, in the evening, when we're getting ready to fall asleep, our body temperature cools down.
Yeah.
And I know if I ever go for a massage, that I start to feel cooler during the massage because I'm starting to relax.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But you know, this energy is very, very interesting. I'm a bit nervous about it. I think because I'm a herbalist, I deal with plants. I'm probably shifting a lot of energy all the time with people, but it's not something I've ever really experimented with. I think I'm very respectful of it, and you know, I stick to my plants. I'll let other people deal with the energy stuff.
But you're working with energy even with the plants.
I know, exactly. That's energetic. The plants do it. That's it. Yeah. That's how how I do my energetic stuff, is with the plants.
Yeah.
But I do have an experience of an energetic healing myself, or an energetic situation, in that I, many years ago, had an infected root canal and didn't know what it was, and I was really unwell. And I saw someone who did a treatment of Tui Naomi, which was a way. And what he said was, I'm going to work on your chi energy, and it's going to go to the place that's making you ill. And I woke up with toothache the next day.
Mm.
And that was an energetic shift in my body, that everything went to that spot. And then I went and got the tooth out and started my path to recovery, which actually took quite a long time because it basically poisoned me.
Mm.
But it was an energetic work that actually brought it to the foreground. But I have to say, I don't go and have a lot of energetic stuff done with people, because I think you're probably very much the same, JJ. I'm very hesitant about actually who gets to get beneath the surface with me.
Absolutely.
It can be really powerful. And I've had things like craniosacral therapy before, where I felt really rattled, and that's working on your energy system. Yeah. So, you know, it's about... No,
I'm absolutely the same. I'm very, very choosy about who I get to work on me,
mm-hmm.
if I get anybody to work on me.
Yeah.
But it is interesting as well. And sometimes, you know, I mean, I've given people sessions, and they haven't said they have anything specific, you know, that they want to work on. So for them, it's maybe just, you know, it will clear out... just kind of minor things that are going on, but I might also notice an area that needs work. And I remember quite recently I worked with somebody, and their throat was, you know, I could feel there was something around the throat and the thyroid and just, you know, around the head generally. So I was focusing on that, and anyway, they came round and they said, oh, wow, that was fantastic. You know, that was really great. Yeah, I feel so much better. You know, it's like going into this deep meditation, this, you know, real kind of, it's like having somebody else said recently, it's like having a massage, except that nobody touches you, you know. Mm. And anyway, this one person, they were fine. And I said, drink, you know, the usual thing, drink lots of water, because, you know, you've been shifting, you want to just flush things out. And... the next day they called me and they said, oh my God, I have just absolutely just gone, you know, really gone all in, you know, she really gave somebody a real kind of talking at, you know, exploded over mm-hmm. the phone. I said, oh, so that was what your throat thing was all about then, wasn't it? You weren't expressing yourself. And she said, absolutely. But it was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was...
It unblocked her.
It unblocked her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She didn't even know she had to be unblocked.
Yeah.
But it did.
But it was interesting. I was thinking about, you know, myself earlier on with lots of, you know, I've had a lot going on recently with the move and the business. And I was actually thinking about when do I actually really fully take the time to properly relax and let go?
Yeah.
Probably not that often. And I know I don't think I could sit down and meditate. It's not my thing. I'll go to the woods and go for a walk.
Well, that's meditation.
I know it is. It's different. It's active, but it's not sitting quietly and letting something go. That's not an area that I think I'm particularly good at. And I think probably people generally aren't good at doing that.
Mm.
Sitting down and really fully letting go. And resetting ourselves.
Yeah. You
know? It's all fight or flight all the time, and not as much rest and digest as we should be doing. So I think probably some of the work that you do probably would help really reset the vagus nerve and calm down lots of that inflammatory stuff that's going on in the body, and just allow things to switch.
I think it absolutely does. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it really does. And, you know, if I can help somebody who has warfarin flooding through their, you know, veins and arteries all the time, and causing all the upset to a system that does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they very rarely use warfarin these days, but there are certain heart valves and certain, you know, situations where they do still use it.
Yeah.
Then, you know, just think of if you haven't got that going on and but, you know, you're still experiencing that reset, like you say. Yeah, absolutely. It really is a great way to reset your system.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you think you've not got anything wrong with you, it's still a great way to reset your system.
Taking some time out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I loved it when a recent client said, oh, you know, I just feel like I've had this wonderful massage. And I thought, yeah, well, you have. But it's been energetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I haven't needed to manipulate you in any way. I haven't even come anywhere near you.
Yeah. And how do you feel after you've worked with somebody?
I feel fine. I mean, somebody said to me once, do you not feel exhausted? No, because it's not my, it's not
your energy.
It's not my energy.
Yeah. You know, if you were doing massage, if you know, somebody that's doing massage treatments and whatever, they are putting a lot out into it, aren't they?
Yeah.
But you don't feel there's an energetic drain that happens
not
on you
at all.
In any way because you're not putting your energy in.
No, almost the opposite.
In fact, yeah, I was just thinking that if you are really opening your heart,
yeah,
that actually is quite a lovely energetic place to be.
It is.
You will be in a little golden globe as well.
That's exactly what happens. And if I'm in the same room as you, I don't have people come to me very often, but occasionally I will. If I'm in the same room as you, I will have cleared the energy of the room. I'll have maybe lit some incense and cleared with incense. Palo Santo is one of my favorites. And then there's oud as well, which is another one. I don't use sage very much. You know, a lot of people clear space with sage, burning sage. I'm not as keen on sage. But there are some gorgeous resins and things that are very, very good at clearing energy. And they smell lovely as well. So what's, you know, nothing wrong with that. So I'll clear the room and I'll also make sure that I have candles, but real candles burning. Because there's this thing about fire energy as well, which is just really cleansing and really helps people relax. You know, candles help people relax,
mm-hmm,
even during the day. So I'll have prepared the space for you and for me. And so then at the end of it, and no music, by the way. I don't play music. There's nothing else going on.
There's no drumming.
No, God, sorry. No, there's no drumming. In fact, I am not a big drumming fan,
mm-hmm,
at all. So it's, no, we're talking complete silence,
mm-hmm,
and just sinking into that silence and just, you know, sinking into that safe space. And then, yeah, for me, it's almost as energizing as it is for the person I'm working, mm-hmm, with.
Great. So, what's the best way to get hold of you, Gigi?
Get along to my website, safehavenhealing.uk. I've got another website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. You can always get a hold of me through there as well. But safehavenhealing.uk is the best way to get a hold of me. Also, as The Practical Alchemist on Facebook and Instagram. You can send me messages there as well, or friend me or follow me or whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's where the alchemy has come from, healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's sprung from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is a form of alchemy. What we're doing is a form of alchemy. We're transforming, working with nature,
mm-hmm,
to transform.
Yeah, we talk about nature a lot, don't we? But nature is energy.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. It's all connected. It's all energy.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that. I suppose one of my missions in life is to have people understand that it is all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to admit that was fun. I hope that you enjoyed it. This show was brought to you in association with Nasal Guard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants as well as indoor and outdoor allergens, perfect for travellers and allergy sufferers alike. Thank you to Karen Brines-McLean, and thank you for listening. Join me next time for more Practical Alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.